from at base, and we're looking in the wide lines, approximately nine lines down, Umay Tanoi. Right now the Gemara is going back to the answer of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda tried to reconcile the stira that we had, and he suggested, if you recall, that these were two different shitos amongst the Tanoim, and the Machlokas is about Aninus extending into the following night. That's Aninus Laila, whether it has a din of an Issur Doraisa or not. Umay Tanoi. So Gemara asks him, what is this machlokas tanoim? The sanya we learned in a braisa, ad masai misonein olav. Until what point does the aninus continue and there's an isra achilas kodshim? So the braisa quotes the shita of the Tanakama, kol hayom, which means until the end of the day. Right now we assume that means that the night is not included in the Isra Achilas, in the Isra Achilas Kodshim and Aninus. Rebbe Omer calls Manshalo Nikbar until the point of Kvura, which means that even if we go beyond the night, if the Kvura hasn't taken place, the Aninus continues. And now the Gemara is going to analyze this Machlokas and try to determine if this is what Rav Chisda had in mind. V'mayas kinon, what's the case in this Braisa Ilam, if we're going to say beyond Misa, that the Misa took place today, and the Kvura took place today. So this day was both the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKvura. And in such a case, the Tanakama holds that the Aninus continues until the end of the day, and it terminates with the end of the day, or after Kvura. So the Gemara says that's impossible. That's an untenable position. Mi ikod de lesle liyom misa de tofis leilo mirabbanon. Nobody argues, nobody questions the premise that as far as the day of Yom Misa and Yom Kvura is concerned, which is a full-fledged Aninus Doraisa, that the Aninus is tofis is leilo in the night also, and the din of Aninus extends into the night, at least on a Derabbanan level. And therefore, how can you tell me that the Tanakhama is holding that if it's both Yom HaMisa and Yom HaKvura, then with the Kvura the Aninus terminates and there's no din of Laila after the day? That's not anyone's position. No one would say such a thing. Visu, and furthermore, if you're interpreting the Braisa in that way, then Rebbe Omer Kolzman Shalom Nikbar. In the Braisa it says Kolzman Shalom Nikbar. He's an Onen. He's also Bekodshim. And the Gemara's Medayik. Ha Kvaro. Once the Kvura took place, Ishtri lay. At that point, he's allowed to eat Kodshim in the middle of the day with Kvura. So the Gemara asks the following question: Umi kadolesle v'achrisa v'yom mar? Is there any shita that denies the pasuk and the halacha that we derive from the pasuk of achrisa v'yom mar, which is a pasuk in Amos v'samtiyah b'ke'evel yachid v'achrisa k'yom mar, which means that the din of aninus doraisa applies the entire day. It's a din in the yom, and the entire yom is included in that iser and that din of aninus, including after the kvura. So this is an untenable position. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Sheshes, ayom kvura koi. This price is not talking about a case of yom misa and yom kvura. The misa took place on one day, and the kvura on another day. And as far as the kvura is concerned, the machlokas here is whether or not the aninus of yom kvura will extend midrabanan to the night afterwards. That according to Tanakama, the extension of the aninus on the day of Kvura is only during the daylight hours. And therefore, with nightfall, the halacha of Aninus... Again, let's go over what compels Rav Sheshes to say Ayom Kvura Koi, because the Pasuk clearly indicates in Amos, Achrisa Kiyom Mar, that the entire day of Misa, even after Kvura, is considered a Yom Mar. That's the nature of the pasuk and the derivation thereof of v'achrisa kiyom mar. So therefore Rav Sheshes says we're talking about Yom Kvura. So the burial took place on a different day, not the day of death, and the Tanakama holds the aninus lasts until the time of the burial. Rebbe extends the So again, the Tanakhama holds that the Aninus lasts until the end of the day, even beyond the Kvura, whereas Rebbe holds that the Aninus will terminate in the middle of the day when the Kvura takes place. Maskifle, Rav Yosef rejects or challenges the Shita of Rav Sheshes. Ella, according to this interpretation of the Braisa, Rav Sheshes interpretation, Hadik Tani, what about the Mishnah Psachim? Hashomea al Meso, Kimolaket Atsomos, that the status of a Shmua is the same as that of Likud Atsomos, and the din, therefore, in both cases is Tovel the Ochel Bekodshim La Erev. What it means is that Michlal, we can see from this Mishnah that the Yom Kvura Afil La Erev Nami Lo Ochil. What that means is that on the Yom HaKvura, as a separate entity, if there was no Misa on that day, the Onin is also Bachilus Kodshim, even the Erev, even the evening that follows. Now, this doesn't work out according to anyone, because if you go with the Shita of the Tanakhama, so the Tanakhama would say the entire day, and at the end of that day, the Aninus terminates. If you go according to the Shita of Rebbe, then Rebbe holds with Kvura the Aninus terminates. Hamani, so basically Gemara says, who could possibly be this the authorship of this Mishnah? We cannot attribute it neither to Tanakhama nor to Rebbe Elatritz, but rather we should interpret the Brice in a different way. Ad Masai Mis Onanim Olav. How far do we extend the Aninus in the loss of a relative? Kol Oso Yom, during the entire course of the day of Kvura, the Lelo, and also the night afterwards. That's what we're adding to the Brisa now. And that's the Tanakhama sheet. The Rebbe Omer calls Manchelo Nikbar. Abel Nikbar is below Lelo. So Rebbe is the Mekil here, and he says that once this Kvura, the Aninus terminates. Whereas the Tanakhama is willing to extend the Aninus into the night that follows the Yom Kvura. And in which case, when we have this Mishnah in Psachim, the Mishnah says that we can extend the Aninus even beyond the day of Kvura into the night, that certainly reflects the Shita of the Tanakhama. Rebbe seems to assume that if the Kvura takes place on that day, then we don't extend the Aninus into the night that follows. Now, I thought when I read this Gemara that the meaning of Rebbe is that at the moment of Kvura, the Aninus terminates, and immediately the Krovim are allowed to eat Kodshim. However, a careful reading of Rashi seems to assume that even on the day of Likud Atzomos, the Achilus Kodshim becomes prohibited for the entire day. And L'chor with the Kal V'chomer, that should apply to Yom HaKvura. In which case we're sort of closing the gap a little bit on this machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rebbe. Rebbe would extend the Aninus beyond the Kvura, but up until and not beyond the end of the day, and the Lila is not included, whereas the Tanakhama includes the Lila. Now, we've had Rav Yosef. Now we have Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah is going to reject Rav Yosef. He's going to say the machlokas here is about the Yom HaKvura, and whether or not Yom HaKvura extends into the night. Rebbe holds that Tofes Lelo and Tanakhama disagree. So we're switching it around another time. That's going to be Rav Yirmiyah. Amru Akame de Rav Yirmiyah. They told over in front of Rav Yirmiyah the answer of Rav Yosef. The Amar, and he was very nispoiled, he was very surprised and disappointed. He says, Gavra Rabba, such a great man, can Rav Yosef, Lema Hachi, could he say such a thing? That Lema de Rebbe Lekula, that Rebbe is the Mekil, and he would say, as opposed to the Tanakhama, that the Aninus terminates with the Kvura, or at least at the end of the day, and the Tanakhama is Machmir and extends Aninus into the night. That's what it comes out according to Rav Yosef. That the Tanakhama holds according to Rav Yosef that Yom HaKvura is Tofes Lelo. Rebbe says, no, let's be Mekil. And the Aninus does not extend into the night. For Asanya, we learned in a Braisa, Ad Mosai misonin olav kolzman. This is Rebbe Shita kolzman she'eno nikvar vafilu mikan v'asor yomim. Rebbe is willing to extend aninus for 10 days, and that's all midrabbanon, and it's going to extend up until the time kruas habnes. And as long as the kruah did not take place, the aninus continues. And after the kruah, the aninus will continue till the balance of that day, and presumably the night afterwards. So chachomim omrim no. Chachom say ein misonim olav ela osa yom bilvad. That the din of aninus applies up until kruah, but only on that day itself, meaning the day of Kvura, but not the Laila Achra. So it seems from the language of the Chachamim, when they say, Ein Misonin Onav Ela Yom, Osa Yom Bilvadik, it sounds like they're coming to be Mekil. And you wanted to say, Rabbi Yosef, that other Rabbi, it's Rabbi Yosef, is Rebbe is the Mekil. Here it's is clearly indicated by the Braisa, the Lashon of Braisa, that Rebbe is the one who's being Machmir, and he's extending Aninus even beyond the day into the night. Ela, so the Gemara says, no. This is Rabbi Yirmiyah's final presentation. He says, Ela Tritzachi, this is the way you should fix up the price. Ad Masai Umisonin Olav is according to the Tanakama Kolai Oso Hayom, below Lelo. So the Tanakama turns out to be the Mekil and does not extend Aninus into the night after the Kvura. Again, we're talking about a Darabonon, a situation where the Yom Miso was on one day, the Yom Kvura was on another. Rebbe Omer calls Manchelo Nikbar. And therefore, V'im Nikbar, Tofes Lelo. After the Kvura, we're going to extend the Aninus into the following night. So it turns out Tanakam and Rebbe are arguing about whether or not Yom Kvura generates Aninus into the night. Tanakama holds Eina Tofes, there's no din of Aninus into the night, and Rebbe says no, there is Aninus into the night. Now this is a Machlokas Tanoim with regard to Aninus of Lel Yom HaKvura, meaning the night after the Yom HaKvura, and that's the source for Rav Chisda, who said that we can explain the Braisa of Yom Shmua Ki Yom Kvura based on this machlokas. Rav, on the other hand, that we're about to learn now, he comes to the conclusion based on Rebbe that Aninus Laila is the Oraisa, and that's something that we were unwilling to accept. We didn't entertain the idea that the Laila would be the Oraisa. Amru Kamei, the interpretation of Rabbi Yirmiyah that we just learned was transmitted to Rava, the Rava, Midaka Omar. Rebbe Yom Kvura Tofes Lelo Midrabanan. Since Rebbe, in the case of Yom Kvura, which means that the Misa took place on one day and the Kvura on the next, Rebbe holds that there's according to Rabbi Yirmiyah's interpretation, there's a Tfisas Lilo Midrabanan. But on Yom Misa Mechlal, we should derive from this that if the Aninus were Doraisa, because it was both Yom HaMisa and Yom HaKvura, Tofes Lelo Midoraisa, that we should extend the Aninus into the night following Yom HaMisa, Yom HaKvura, on a Doraisa level. Because if not for the fact that it was Yom HaMisa, then the din of Tofes is Lelo would have been Darabonon. And the Chachamim wouldn't have established that the Yom HaKvura should generate a Laila din. That's the way Rava understands it. So let's see it inside and interpret it. He says, one second here. Amru Kamei de Rava Mida Ava Rebbe Yom Kvura is Tofes Lelo Midrabanan. So since Yom HaKvura itself is only Derabanan, the Anis is Derabanan, therefore the Laila afterwards is Derabanan Michlal, if it would have been Yom Kvura, that's Yom Misa at the same time, which would be Anis Doraisa, then again in all cases it's Tofes Lelo, but here since the Yom Misa Yom Kvura is Doraisa, therefore Tofes Lelo Midoraisa. If it wasn't so that the Yom HaMisa would be Tofes Lelo Midaraisa, then why would the Chacham establish that Yom HaKvura, in the case of the Rabbanan, would be Tofes Lelo? We've got to have some sort of precedent of a Tofes Lelo Minatorah. And based on that precedent, the Rabbanan could make Archoka, they could extend Aninus into the Lila on a Drabbana level, but first find me the case where it's Doraisa. And the answer is, if it would have been both Yom HaMisa and Yom HaKvura, then the Halach of Tofes Lelo would have been Doraisa. Now, in the case of Yom HaMisa, we can establish Midrabbanan that there's such a thing as Tofes Lelo. And now, Rava Esakasha, on his own presentation, and he says the following: V'savar Rebbe, this is a rhetorical question, Chaninus Laila is Doraisa, meaning if it was both Yom HaMisa and Yom HaKfura, there would be a Ninus Doraisa in the Laila that follows. So Asanya, we learned in a Braisa, it says in the Torah with regard to Aaron that he responded to Moshe. Moshe asked, why didn't they eat the carbon, he and his children, from the Soyer Chatas Rosh Chodesh by Ninus? And that's what Moshe had commanded them. And the response that he got was, Hein Hayom. And then it says, Hekrivu v'achalti chatos hayom, ayitav b'yenei Hashem. As if to say, if I would eat the chatos, this chatos, would that be a good thing? And from the words, Hein Hayom, it would seem to indicate clearly that these karbanos require yom. In other words, the Issa Doraisa of Aninus is limited to yom. In other words, you heard me pi agvura that we have to eat Aninus and Barninus, the eat the kodesh and Barninus. But that's the exception to the rule. The rule itself would be that we're enjoined from eating the kodesh and Barninus, and that's called yom. That means the day itself, not the night following the dom. Ani hayom asur b'layla mutar. But v'doros bein b'yom bein b'layla asur divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer aninus layla eino divrei Torah elami divrei sofrim. So the way we understood this brisa was the way Rabbi seems to say it explicitly, that there is no such thing as tfisas layla midorais as far as aninus is concerned. And that's what the pasuk means, Hayom. The shita of Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, is not like Rabbi. He holds that Bein Bayom Bein Balayla, the onen is Osir Bachila. Again, the exception would be that one particular carbon on the day of the dedication. But as far as Lidoris is concerned, the way Rabbi Yehuda understands it, it's Bein Hayom Ubein Balayla, Bein Bayom Bein Balayla Osir. So the Gemara answers and comes to the conclusion that Rebbe also holds that there's an Aninus Laila, but it's only Derabbanan. Li'olam Derabbanan hi. Now we go over to Daf Kuf Aleph. The Chachamim Asu Chizuk L'Divreihem Yoser Mishal Torah. This is a principle that we find in Masechet Nedarim and other places, that sometimes Derabbanan have to give a Chizuk L'Divreihem. People are sometimes mezalzel in their abundance, and they make it even more severe than a doraisa halacha. So even though aninus of Yom Misa is minat Torah, and aninus balayla following the day of Yom Misa Yom Kvura would only be derabbanan, the Chacham mesaken the aninus of Yom Kvura in a way that goes beyond the aninus doraisa of Yom Misa Yom Kvura. So they're mesaken aninus im balayla achrov. So Yom HaMisa and Yom HaKvura on a Doraisa level does not toface Lelo, and the Rabbana left it as is. But in the case where they wanted to establish a new aninus of Yom Misa, there they're going to establish this Lechumra, and they're going to generate an aninus Lila which has no parallel in aninus Doraisa. Now, after the Gemara had quoted Rabbi Yehuda here on Daf Kuf Amid Beis, and Rabbi Yehuda brought a raya to his din that Aninus Laila is Doraisa from the Pasuk Hein Hayom, we're talking about the Yom Shmini Lemiluim. So the Gemara now clarifies that these psukim, in the context of Kvuras, of Karbanos of Yom Hashmini, that there are those who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and Yom HaShmini LeMiluim coincides with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in the second year that Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and on that day there was a terrible catastrophe of the death of Nadav Avihu when they brought an Eish Zor on the Mizbeach, and on that day the Chanukas HaMishkan and all the celebrations began the very, very, very next day, to such an extent that the Nesiim brought their karbonos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that on every single day of the Chanukah, one of the various Nesiim respectively would bring his karbon on behalf of his Shevet. And on this day, the day of the terrible tragedy of the death of Nadav Avihu, which was the day in which Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was the first of the Nesiim to bring the karbon, he was the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda. So besides the Soyer Chatos of the Miluim, which is indicated clearly in the Pasuk, Vel Bnei Yisrael Tadab Alem Chusir Izim Lechatos, that's called the Chatos Shmini, they also brought on that very day two Seirei Chatos, in addition to the Seir Chatos. And that's the Seir Rosh Chodesh, and the Seir that was in the Karbon of Nachshon. Now, the Seir of Rosh Chodesh was burnt by Aaron, Ubanov, and they didn't eat it. So now the question is, why did they go ahead and burn the Seir Rosh Chodesh? Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, it says with regard to a mincha, that was the mincha that was brought on the eighth day of the Miluim, it says, V'achaltem osa b'mokom kadosh, kichein tzuvesi. Now, with regard to the Chatos Rosh Chodesh, which was burned by Aaron Ubanov, it says, Achol tochlu osa b'kodesh kasher tzuvesi. That Moshe told them that they were obligated to eat the karbon, and with regard to Chaze and Shok, which comes from the Lishkas HaTruma of Shalmi Tzibur, Moshe says to Aaron and to his children that they have to eat the karbon. Kasher Tziva Hashem. Now the Braisa wants to clarify why the double language. It says Kichein Tzuvesi, and then it says Kasher Tziva Hashem. The Braisa is comparing these two psukim, Kichein Tzuvesi, which seems to indicate that motion first person, I have been commanded, and he's emphasizing that Aaron Ubanov should eat from the karma. This despite the fact that they're in a state of aninus. But then the second expression, kasher tzivesi, right, the second phrase, let me see it again, the language is kasher tzivesi, right, which Moshe says to them when he commands them to eat, is b'shas maisa omer lehem. That was at the moment of the death of Nadav, the death of Avihu. And they were told, they were instructed by Moshe to eat the karbonos, despite the fact that they were onanim, and they were in the state of aninus. So what happened was that Moshe discovered that the Chatos of Rosh Chodesh had been burned. He demanded to know why the Kohanim Aaron Ubanov did not eat the, as he had commanded, when they became onanim. So again, when Aaron and Bonav became onanim, Moshe told them that they should nevertheless eat the basar of the karbon. Moshe heard from Hashem that this aninus was different than classical aninus. Now, since this is the exception to the norm, Moshe Rabbeinu had to add the words ki chein tzivesi, meaning to emphasize that I've been commanded thusly by Hashem. Now it says Kashetziva Hashem. That's the third expression. Lo me elai ani omer, meaning to say, it's not on my own authority that I tell you to eat the basar karbon, but rather I get it from Hashem. So he sort of admonishes the Kohanim for burning the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh instead of eating it, as we said. Moshe now warned them that's not what they should do with regard to the Shlomim. So here's what happened. We have here the Misa of Nodav Avihu. Moshe tells Aaron and Elazar Yitamar, the surviving brothers, that they should eat from the Mincha and all the other Karbonos, even though they were Onanim, came Tzuvesi, because that's what God commanded me to instruct you. Moshe later discovered the Chatas Rosh Chodesh was burned. He demanded to know why Aaron Ubanov had not eaten the Chatas, as they were told, Kashet Tzuvesi, even though they were Onanim. Moshe then gave them a Musa Shmuz, that they should eat the Shlomim Kasher Tzivah Hashem, not make the same mistake that they did with regard to the Sayer. And in this case, in the case of Shlomim, they should definitely burn, not burn it. So let's go through some of the Pesukim just to get an overview. It says, Vaydaber Moshe el Aaron ve'lozer ve'itomer b'onav anosorim k'chues ha'mincha anoseres me'ishe Hashem v'yachlu matzos eitzalim izbeach ki kodesh kodoshim hi. So that's as far as commanding them to eat the noseres, the mosar of the mincha. Then it says, v'achaltem osa b'mokom kodosh ki chokcha v'chok b'onechu hu me'ishe Hashem ki chen tzuvesi. The Torah goes on to say that the Chazat Nufa and the Shokat Truma should be eaten b'makom tor, atah uvanecha uvnosecha itach, ki chakcha v'chak banecha nitnu mizivche shalmei Yisrael. Chokat Truma v'chokat Nufa al ishei hachalovim yavil lahanif Tnufa lefnei Hashem v'ayilcha l'banecha itach itcha l'chok olam kasher tziva Hashem. The S Seira Chatos Doros Dorash Moshe Vinei Sora Vayikzov Al Elazar Veli Tamar Bnei Aaron and Osarim Lemar Madulo Chaltem Es Hachatos V'Mokom HaKodesh Ki Kodesh Kadoshim Hi V'Osa Nasan Lachem La Seis Avon HaEidol Chapra Lechem Lefnei Hashem. So basically, you should have eaten the Chatos in a holy place. It's Kodesh Kadoshim. And you should have done it in order to achieve forgiveness for the entire Kahal Yisrael for their sins. Heimlo huvas dama la kodesh pnima echol tochlu osab akodesh kasher tzivesi. Vaydaber Aaron el Moshe hayom hein hayom ikrivu es chatosa vesolosam lefnei Hashem v'tikreena osi ka'ele. V'achalti chatos hayom ayita b'nei Hashem v'yomer Moshe v'yita b'yeno. That's more or less the sequence of the psukim that we wanted to see. Now, according to the earlier braisa, Moshe had told Aaron and his bonim to eat the sacrifices despite their aninus. Now the Gemara asks the kasha for a minute. We have a braisa that contradicts this. Mipnei aninus nisrafa, the chatos of Rosh Chodesh was burnt because of aninus. In other words, all the kohanim, Aaron and Bonav were onanim. The chatos therefore could not be eaten. They were onanim, and therefore had to be burnt. Lekach nemar ka'ela, and that's what the Torah means by adding the word ka'ela, as if to say that the deaths of Nadav Aviv befell me. In other words, I am an onan, and therefore, were I meant to eat this day's chatos? Meaning, would Hashem approve of such a thing? Basically, after Moshe criticizes Aaron Ubana for burning the chatos Rosh Chodesh and not to do so with regard to the shlom, rather to eat the shlom, Aaron explained in self-defense that they had burned the chatos because as onim they could not eat it. And the following pasuk, Moshe agrees with this explanation. He approves. Now, if according to what you said in the previous price, Moshe had heard from Hashem that Aninu's prohibition was suspended on that day, how can he approve of this explanation? Omer Shmuel lo kasha, there's no stira. Harab Yehuda, Harab Nechemia. that the first brisa, which insists that Hashem commanded to waive the aninus isur, that reflects the shita of Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. However, because again, according to Amar Shmuel, according to Shmuel's opinion, he cannot reconcile the first brisa with Rav Nechemiah, because again, Shmuel understands that according to Rav Nechemiah, the aninus prohibition was not lifted on that day at all. So therefore, according to Rav Nechemiah, clearly he's disagreeing with the first brisa, where Moshe says, Kichein Tzuvesi, which is an emphasis on the fact that this is an exception to the normal law of aninus. So according to Rav Nechemiah, it comes out that Moshe added these words for a different reason. Moshe wanted to emphasize that the mincha should be eaten, although it was a minchas tzibur. In every other instance of this sort, the minchas tzibur is completely burnt on the mizbeach. But Moshe did not remember the din that an onen is prohibited from eating kodshim. And this is evident from the fact that after Aaron and his sons became onenim, Moshe instructed them to eat the mincha, and he wasn't operating with the kal v'chomer that if an onen is not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni, then for sure he can't eat kodshim. So it was only Aaron who really knew that there was such an isur, and he derived it from a kal v'chomer. When Aaron reminded Moshe Rabbeinu of the isur, Moshe conceded that Aaron was right. So lo kasha, getting back to Shmuel, ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Nechemiah. So the first brisa reflects the shita of Yehuda, and there's a heter, so to speak, a matir, which Hashem gave to Moshe to give Aaron a bun of allowing the onen to eat from the karma. But the second brisa reflects the shita of Nechemiah, that aninus was not waived, the sanya, because we learned in Bnei Aninus Sarfua, that Aaron had the Rosh Chodesh Seir burnt because of the aninus, which means such things befell me, and that's Divrei Rabbi Nechemiah, that according to Rabbi Nechemiah, they had to burn the karbon because of the aninus. It wasn't Roy Lachila. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Mipnei Tuma Nisrafa. There's a whole different dimension to this story, and that is Tuma, and the reason why the Chatos of Rosh Chodesh was burnt is because it came in contact with Tuma, and it was therefore in a royal Achila. Again, the only reason why the Chatos of Rosh Chodesh was burnt, according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, has nothing to do with Aninus, but it's because the Basar came in contact with the Dovra Hametame. And they explain, She'im Ata Omer b'nei aninus risufa, if you're going to argue, Rabbi Nechemiah, that the reason why they burnt the Chatas Rosh Chodesh was because of aninus, is then hayu l'shloshtam sheyisufu. They should have burnt the karbon, the soyer, and not to eat all three seiri chatas shekarvu bo bayom. Meaning, there was a soyer Rosh Chodesh, there was a soyer Nachshon, and there was a chatas shmini. From the fact that only the soyer Rosh Chodesh was burnt, and the other seirim were eaten, it must be that it has nothing to do with aninus. If it was burnt because of aninus, that would apply to all three of these chatos. So let's just go over the three seirim that were brought as a chatos. There was the soyer that was brought by Nachshon, who was the Nasi of Shevet Yehud. There was the chatos that Jewish people had to bring for the eighth day of the Miluim. Then there was the chatos of Rosh Chodesh. And of these three, only the chatos of Rosh Chodesh was burnt. So Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon argue that if the chatos was burnt because of aninus, why shouldn't the other two korbanos be burnt? That they have the same din. But in fact, this has to do with Tumah. And this, of the three chatos, this was the chatos Rosh Chodesh, was the only one that came in contact with Tumah. So the Gemara says, Dovar Acher, Hayu Roy Li Ochlan La Erev. In other words, another proof that you cannot say that it was burnt because of aninus, because if you're not going to admit that there was some sort of contact with Tumah, so And the reason why they didn't eat is because of aninus, is then hayu royli ochlam la'erev, that in the evening certainly that they were no longer onanim, and they just simply could have eaten it in the evening. We mentioned before in Daf Kuf Amid Beis that according to Yehuda, the aninus of all generations is also in the night following the kvura. But the aninus of that particular day, of the Yom HaChanukah, that was mutter for that night. That aninus terminated with sunset. And if they were mutter to eat the sayur balayla, unless you assume it had contact with tumah, and therefore, from the fact that they weren't willing to, they didn't actually do that and wait till the Erev, when they would have been allowed to eat the kachem, it must be because it came in contact with tumah. Dover acher, another third proof that this was not, that the chatas rosh hashanah was not burnt because of aninus. Halo Pinchas hayimoyen. Pinchas was a kohen. He was not an onen. He wasn't related to Nadav Aviu, and he could have eaten the basar, unless you assume the sari was nitma. So now we have a reconciliation of the brisos. The first brisa holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there was a tzivui, a special explicit mandate from Hashem to eat the karban even during aninus. However, since there was an episode of tuma, that's why they burnt it. And the second brisa holds that Reb Nechemi is right, or maybe it was authored by Reb Nechemi, and it was also for them to eat it beraninus, and that's why they burnt it. Now, if that be the case, then we have no stira between the two brises. Rav Amar, I have another way of reconciling these two brises. Edi v'edi, they're both talking about a case of, and both talking according to the shita of Reb Nechemi, that they burnt the karbonos because of aninus. V'lo kasha, and you'll ask me, so why does the first brisa allows achilas kodshim by aninus? The answer is kan b'kodshe shah, kan b'kodshe doros. So the first brisa, which was mata them to eat by aninus, that's the mincha that was brought us on that occasion for the mitzvah of Yom HaShmini L'miluim. It was kodshe shah, it wasn't kodshe doros. And that which the second brisa says, that the aninus, that because of the aninus they burnt the soyer, that's only the soyer Rosh Chodesh, which is a karbon that's noeg l'doros. Moshe heard the horash shah of that day, that they're allowed to eat the mincha b'aninus, but he understood, Moshe, that the same din should apply to kachi doros, that they should be mutan achilu b'aninus of that day. And therefore, he got angry, he got upset with Aaron Ubonov, why did they burn the soyer? So Aaron said, Shema, perhaps that which was mutter was a rosh shah to eat kodshim b'aninus. And that rosh shah only applies to kodshe shah, like the case of the mincha that was brought then, and it's not noeg l'doros. But as far as kodshe doros is concerned, it's asur. And vahodu Moshe l'dvar, Moshe accepted that position. And according to the first brisa, that they were mata the Isra Achila to an onen, that's because we're talking about Kodshe Shah. However, Kodshe Doros, the second brisa, that aninus was not waived, that's a reference to Karbonos throughout all Doros, not that particular carbon then. So Aaron Ubonov were allowed to eat only the Karbonos that were unique to that occasion, not regular zvachim, which are offered throughout the generations. It's only kodshe shah. So this is the view of Rava, that Rava is saying that when Rav Nechemia interprets the pasuk kichem tzuvesi, indicating that aninus was lifted, this exemption, which was stated in reference to the mincha, applies to those sacrifices like the mincha that were unique to that Shah, to that moment of the Chanukas Habayis. It doesn't apply to Rosh Chodesh Chatos, which is a regular offering brought every single Rosh Chodesh. So the aninus remains in effect with regard to Rosh Chodesh Chatos, and that sacrifice has to be burned. Moshe, who on the other hand gave Musa to Aaron Ubana for burning the Rosh Chodesh Chatos, he thought that although there was a heter in the previous verse about Mincha, he thought, Moshe Rabbeinu, that that applied to all karbonos, all zvachim of that day, including the chatas of Rosh Chodesh. Aaron, however, came up with a different line of reasoning. His reasoning was that the heter only applied to those karbonos that are unique l'shah to that Chanukas HaMishkan. These were exceptional karbonos that had their own rules, their own laws. So when Moshe Rabbeinu heard Aaron's reasoning, and he concluded that Aaron was right, therefore, even if both brises follow the view from Nechemiah, there's no stira between them. The first brises says that Moshe was told by Hashem that the mincha, and for that matter, all the other unique karbonos on that occasion, the mincha should be eaten in the state of aninus. Nevertheless, as we see in the second brisa, Rav Nechemi would agree that in the Rosh Chodesh Chatos, which was not unique to that occasion, had to be burned because of Aninus. So Rav's teretz here really resolves the problem as to why, according to Rav Nechemi, only the Chatos of Rosh Chodesh was burned and not the other two Chatos. However, according to Shmuel, who maintains that Aninus is not lifted at all, this becomes very difficult. So you can take a look at Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil V'Raminu, and they go through an elaborate analysis of this sugya, kan b'kodshei shel, kan b'kodshei doros. Now keep in mind that Moshe demanded, he wanted to know, that's what he, so to speak, put his fist down and banged on the table, he wanted to know why the Chatas Rosh Chodesh was burned, and Aaron gave him the very explanation, and Moshe conceded that Aaron was right. The Gemara explains, now, how was it Rav Nechemiah, on the one hand, Rav Yudin, Rav Shimon, on the other hand, had understood the dialogue between Moshe and Aaron? Rav Nechemiah, heichin mitaritz laikroi, v'rabbanan heichin mitaritz laikroi. What it means is as follows, that there's a kashya both on Rav Nechemiah and on Rav Yudin, Rav Shimon. So what is the kash on both of them? Let's go over the kash on both of them. Not sure why. Just one second here. I see. So the Gemara actually doesn't spell out this kasha. The Gemara sort of answers the kasha. It says the following, that Rabbi Nechemiah mitarts lehu hachi. Here's how Rabbi Nechemiah understands the brice. He says, Madua lo achaltem? Why didn't you eat the chatas of Rosh Chodesh? Says Moshe, Amalo Moshe Liaron, Shema nichnas domam lifnai v'lifnim. Is it possible that the dam of this chatas was taken accidentally inside the heichal? And we're talking about the Rosh Chodesh Chatas as a Chatas Chitzona, so the dam is on the Mizbach HaOla, and if there's and the law is, and this is a very severe issur, if you bring the dam of a Chatas Chitzona into the Pnim, into the Heichal, the Chatas becomes posel and cannot be eaten. So if we're trying to understand why Aaron burned the Rosh Chodesh Chatas, Moshe now in his mind considered the possibility that although its dam had been brought, but it wasn't brought in the right place, it was brought instead into the Heichal. And that would be a severe violation. So Moshe says, Shema nichnas domo lifnai v'lifnim, and therefore everything is possible, all carbon is possible. Omar lo, so Aaron responded in self-defense. He says, "Hey lo huva es dama," that the dam was not brought into the heichal. So don't even consider that possibility. So Moshe then asked another question: "Shema chutz mechitzasa yotzes?" Maybe there's a psul of chutz, meaning the basar achatos were taken outside the klaim, in which case they would be disqualified under the din of yotze. So Aaron gives an answer, Omer lo b'kodesh hoysa. Now, what is the significance of b'kodesh hoysa? Aaron is retorting, is responding to Moshe, and he's saying, but Kodesh Hashem was never taken out of the Azorah. Amar lo, so Moshe says to him, V'dilma b'aniyah sakrivusua upsaltua. Maybe you were makriv the karbon while you were owning him, and that passes up the karbon. Which means that any avodah that's performed by an onig would passel the karbon. And the chatzis Rosh Chodesh was offered on the mizbeach after Aaron Ubanov was already owning him. And Amar lo, our Aaron replies, he says, Moshe v'chi hem hikrivu, ani akravti. Meaning that even though my sons have the status of Kohen Hedjot, but I have the status of a Kohen Gadol. And a Kohen Gadol is mutil hakriv avoda be'aninus. So therefore this whole possibility that the karma is possible because of aninus is really irrelevant. Now remind me if we get a chance to talk about the insights here of the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah, who claims that from the Pesukim it seems clear that the Zrikas Adam took place before the death of Nadav Aviv, so they weren't even owning him. And again, it's based on the reading of the Pasuk Vayerid Me'asos Achatos Va'olav Ashlamim, and that was Messiah Nakrov of all the Karbonos, and then afterwards it says Vayikhu, etc., and they brought an Eish Zorah, Nadav Aviv, Vateitza Eish, and Tochalosim. So how could Moshe have a Havamina that Akrov was by Ninus? And again, there's a lot to discuss here, but just the kitzur, I wanted to tell you that the Ramban answers that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was not aware of the sequence of the actions. He was suspicious that when they found the Dama Chatas and it hadn't been subject to Zrika, and Nizrak Adam Achar Shahayu owned him, he thinks that maybe the Zrika Sadam turned out to have taken place after they became Onanim, which is not the case, but that's what he suspected. And Aaron answered him, no, that's not so, because it was he, Aaron himself, who was mocked of the carbon, and he's allowed to be mocked of the carbon by Ninus, and therefore the Zrika is not a Zrika Psula because of Aninus. And basically there was a lumdish dialogue here between Moshe and Aaron. And now Amar lo, Moshe turns to Aaron, he says, Hein lo huva es dama, if the dam has not as yet been brought pnima, ubakodesh hoisa, in other words, it wasn't possible because of nichnas lefnim, nor was it possible because of yotza lechutz, then achol tochlu osa kashet zivesi, you should have eaten the karban, even though you're owning him, because of the rasha that I received. And therefore the mincha ba'aninus yochlu should be eaten in the state of aninus. You shouldn't have burnt it because of aninus. So Aaron turns back to Moshe, says, Amalo, vatikrena osi ka'ele v'yachalti chatos hayom ayitav b'enei Hashem. Let's translate that pasuk. He says, now that such things, meaning the deaths of Navavu, befell me, and now I'm an onen, is were I to eat this day's chatos, would Hashem approve of it? In other words, if I would eat the chatos today, would that be okay, so to speak? Would that be acceptable in the eyes of God? Because even though Hashem commanded you that the mincha should be eaten by ninus, Shema lo shamata ela b'kodshei shah, maybe because the mincha has the status of kodshei shah, and we can't be mekil even with regard to chatos rosh chodesh, which is kodshei doros. Maybe you didn't hear from Hashem that the aninus iser is waived, except with regard to those unique karbonos of the Chanukas HaMikdash. We call it in English the inauguration ceremony. You know, it's those karbonos. There, Hashem waived the aninus. And that would, Rashi say, refer to the Korban Mincha. But the prohibition remains with regard to the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh, which is a Kodshei Doros. De'ibe kodshei doros, if we consider the karbonos that apply for all doros, not this special exceptional mincha of the Chanukah, then kal v'chomer, we should consider the following kal v'chomer, meiser hakal. Meiser sheni is kal mikodshim, relative to kodshim. Again, Tosfos wants to know, we do find a chumra in meiser that we don't find in kodshim, and that's called kesef tzura. But nevertheless, in general, there's no doubt that meiser is kal in general with comparison to kodshim. For example, if somebody eats a todor or a shlovim chutzlum koma chutzlum lechoma, he gets malchus. In any event, the kal v'chomer goes as follows: Ma meiser hakal omra torah lo achalti boni mimeni. That it's also the leone and is bekodshei doros, which are chamura mimeiser sheni lo kolshkein. They certainly should be also for no name, and therefore, if we're going to come and judge this karbon from the perspective of kodshei doros, we should derive from the kal v'chomer from meiser that an onen is asur. And if that be the case, we were justified in burning the soyer, because the soyer of Rosh Chodesh is kodshei doros. And according to Moshe Rabbeinu's svara, he didn't dash in the kal v'chomer. There was no reason why not to eat the kodesh, the soyer baninus. And if that be the case, it's a little bit difficult. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu find it necessary to be matir, beferish, to eat these kodshim? But in any event, miyad, the pasuk says, Vayishma Moshe Vayita bi'enov. Moshe needed some sort of a cruise for the entire machne to declare, I made a mistake over here. And that's called Hodeh V'lo Bosh Moshe Lo Melo Shamati. In other words, that Aaron, my brother, taught me this halacha. And the reason for this cruise is to teach Chachmi Dori Doros for all generations, that a person, even if he's a gadol, he shouldn't be bosh, he shouldn't be embarrassed about the fact that he has to admit that he made a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu also admitted that he made a mistake. Ela Omar Shamati V'shachachti. In other words, I heard what you said, and I understood that there is a valid kal v'chomer from Maaser, but shachachti. I'm not sure exactly how Chazal knew that Moshe Rabbeinu confessed that Sheshoma v'shachach. You know, you could say Vayishma Moshe, he heard the kal v'chomer, Vayita b'yenom, and he accepted the kal v'chomer. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, in fact, the Gemara, they hold that there was a heter during Aninus, because of the tumah, and they were a heter vis-a-vis aninus, but the reason why the sawyer was burnt was because of tumah. Is hechi mitartzilahu? How are they going to interpret the psukim? Hochi mitartzil. Here's how they interpret the psukim. Moshe asked, "Madua lo achaltem es achatos b'mokom hakodesh?" Which means that Moshe was asking Shema Nichnas Domo Lifnai V'Lifnim, and that's why you burnt the Chatos. Omar Lo, Aaron responded, Hein Lo Huva Es Domo El HaKodesh Pnima. If the Dam was not brought into the Heichel, so Moshe said Shema Chutzim Chitzosa, perhaps it was possibly Yotze, it was taken out of the Azor, and therefore it was burnt. Omar Lo, Aaron responded, Hein HaKodesh Hoysa, and it was not removed from the Kodesh. So Moshe asked, the Dilma of Aninus Akriv Tua Upsaltenua. Maybe you were Makriv by Aninus, and therefore it was possible, therefore you burnt it. Omar Lo, Aaron said to Moshe, Hein Hikrivua, meaning, is it in a question form, is it my sons who were Makrivit? Meaning that they have the status of a Kohen Hedjot, of Kohen Hedjotos, Upaslu Bahu, and therefore Aninus is Pasels. That's not the case. I was the Kohen Gadol, and I'm allowed to be Makriv Banim. So Moshe asked them, V'dilma Agav Mira Raichu Pashatba Vitame, maybe because he was so anguished by the death of Nadav Aviu, you were poshea nechatos, and it became tmeah. So Aaron said to Moshe, "Kach ani beinecha, ani mevasa kochi shamayim. Eyes may see a das, you think, and I wasn't careful about watching and protecting the kochi shamayim. Vatikreno si kaela, vafilu eila v'chaela. Even if Chas v'Shalom had another avelus, I wouldn't be careless about the korban. Ein ani mevasa kochi shamayim. Amalo Moshe said to Aaron, "Ve'i hein lo huva es dama u'bakodesh." Hoysa meaning lo yotze l'chutz, it wasn't brought into the tnaiv l'fnim, is therefore ochol tochlu osa b'kodesh kasher tziveisi, which means as far as the mincha is concerned, I was commanded by aninus yochlu, and you should have eaten the chatas as well. Amalo, Aaron said to Moshe, Shem alo shamata, perhaps you didn't hear from Hashem only to be mekel as far as aninus b'laila's concern, only as far as laila. Meaning, if we wanted to, we could have eaten the kodesh b'laila. And here's the din, we would have said, b'yom, yesh lanu ladun l'isa kamachomim ma'asa sheni akal. In other words, if ma'asa sheni, which is kal, relative to kodesh, is ma'asa sheni akal omra Torah, lo achalti bi oni mimeni, mimenu, it's also for an oni to eat it, it's kodesh, hachomer, lo kolchim, how much more so in the case of kodshim, it's also for an onen during the day of his aninus to eat kodshim, miyad, immediately, vayishma Moshe, here we're turning to kufal from the base, vayita bienov, lo bosh Moshe, lomer lo shamati, elo shamati v'shachat. Moshe was not embarrassed, and he says, I didn't hear a distinction between Aninus Yom and Aninus Laila, and he was molded that he forgot. So the Gemara asks, if they were actually mutter to eat the kodesh and b'laila, why didn't they leave the chatos over to the nighttime and eat it at nighttime? Why did they burn it? And the Gemara answers that if they would have desire to leave over the chatos and eat it by at night with the rest of the karbonos, they could have done so. But in the meantime, tum of the ones basa, something happened, circumstances beyond their control, and the basa became tmeh. And once it was nitmeh, it's not royal achila, and therefore they burnt it. Now the Gemara wants to clarify how the Tanoim would interpret the psukim with regard to the sa'ir. Bishleimo l'rabbanon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, who hold that there was an isa to eat the kachim by Ninus Bayon, and yet it was mutar b'laila, and that's true even for kachim doros. Hainu d'chsiv. Now we understand what it means. V'achalti chatos hayom, hayita b'yeni Hashem. And as Aaron says to Moshe, if I would have eaten the chatos today before nightfall, would Hashem be satisfied with that? We should say that which the Torah was matir, That's only to be eaten by Ninus Balayla, but not by Yom. El Rab Nechemyu holds that Kodshi Shah Hutru Lehem. There was a heter even by Yom itself, and Kodshi Doros is also eaten by Laila. There's no difference between that day and the Laila that passed it. Is in Kain Mai. What does it mean? Hayom. The pasuk says Hayom. Right? V'achalti chatosi chatos Hayom. Laila is the sire is also in Balila. So Gemara answers that Aaron meant to say that the Korbanos that kam lechova sayom, meaning the sire Rosh Chodesh, that's what Aaron was saying to Moshe. Are you telling me that I can eat the Korbanos that lechova sayom? I'm an one. And an one, as far as Kodshei Doros is concerned, is asur be'achil. Bishleim, I understand the Rab Nechemya, who says that there was a special heter here for Kodshei Shabaninus, but not for Kodshei Doros. Hainu d'chsiv, hein hayom hikrivu. That hayom, which is a superfluous word, it could have said hein hikrivu, but rather means hein korban chovas hayom hikrivu. That means a korban which is chovas hayom, they were makriv. And we're talking now about Kodshei Doros, and it was also to eat it by Ninus. beginning of Aaron's response, he uses a phrase, Hein Hayom Hikrivu, which seems to mean they offered this carbon for the day. Meaning this is the Chatas Rosh Chodesh that was offered for the day of Rosh Chodesh. Not for the purpose of the Chanukah, but rather for Rosh Chodesh. And Aaron was arguing that therefore this is not included in the special heter that the Torah granted that applies only L'kodshei Shah, only to the Karban Mincha. El Rabbanan, but according to Rabbanan, that's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, my Hein Hayom. What purpose did Aaron have in mind by saying this, meaning this Karban that was offered for this day? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Aaron's point was that the Aninus prohibition was only lifted after nightfall. And Aaron did not distinguish between Kodshei Shah and Kodshei Doros. So why did Aaron, what was he meaning when he said, Hein Hayom Hikrivu? So again, if we interpret the word Hayom to refer to the Kodshim of the day, meaning Kodshei Doros, then it makes sense according to Rabbi Nechemiah. But according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, if the whole point is to differentiate between day and night. Now, as the Gemara earlier had interpreted the word Hayom in the Pasuk V'achalti Chatas Hayom meant to say that the Aninus Avera, the Iser of eating Kodshim during Aninus applied only during the Yom, only during the day. But that's not suitable here. It's no use in the phrase currently under discussion, Hein Hayom Hikrivu. They offered this for the day, which refers to the act of Hakrova, not the act of Achila. And as far as Hakrova is concerned, the fact that it took place during the day is totally irrelevant to Aaron's argument. And the Gemara answers, Hachi Kamar, Hein Hikrivu, Ani Hikravti, it was my sons who were makriv the karbon. Question mark, meaning as a rhetorical question, was it my sons? But Aniyah Crafty, I is the Kohen Gadol. Hain means they, not Hain this, but they. So Aaron was basically telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you're asking about the Chatas Rosh Chodesh, why was it possible? And the answer is that although had it been brought by Kohenim Hedyotos, who were in the state of Aninus, it would be possible, but Aaron said it was not they, meaning his sons, who were Kohanim Hedyotos, who brought the carbon on that day, but rather it was he, Aaron himself, the Kohen Gadol, who offered the carbonus on that day, and therefore the Chatzis Rosh Chodesh was not disqualified on that account. So now, once we have this interpretation to defend Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara now considers it such a perfect interpretation that even Rabbi Nechemiah should understand the Pasuk in the same way. Again, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, if you recall back on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, had brought three objections to Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah thought that Rosh Chodesh Chatos was burnt because of Aninus. How would Rabbi Nechemiah answer each one of these objections? Omar Mar, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon had stated early in the Braisa that Hayu Shloshtam Shi Yisrufu, that the case of Chatos Shel Rosh Chodesh was burnt because of Aninus. If that be the case, then all three of them should be burnt. That was the first argument. There were three Karbanos. Why did they only burn the Chatos Shel Rosh Chodesh? So the Gemara clarifies the question and the objection that is raised here by Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. My Shloshtan Ve'Seir HaChatos Doros Darash Moshe. The Braisa says, so the Gemara interprets this Pasuk, Sa'ir Zo Sa'ir Nachshon, which is brought by Nachshon Ben Aminodav on that day, as the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Perek Zayin, Chatos Zo Chatos Shmini, that's the Chatos that was brought because it was Yom HaShmini Miluim, as the Pasuk says in Vayikra Tes, and Dorash, the word Dorash is a drasha that's coming to be Marbis Sa'ir Shel Rosh Chodesh, because on the eighth day of the Miluim, that day coincided with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And this entire presentation here, the Malbim, if we get a chance later. Therefore, on these three Seirim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon discuss the following. Yochol, I would think, Sheshloshtam Nisrafu. Maybe you'll argue that all three were burnt. because it says Ve'Seir Hachatos Dorosh Darash Moshe Vinei Sorav. So maybe the words Seir Hachatos Dorash are enumerating all three Seirim. Talmud Lomar Vehinei Sorav Beloshin Yochid, that only one of them was burned. Echad Nisra Belosh Shloshta Nisrafu. And later on, we're going to clarify which was the one that was burnt, meaning the Chatos Rosh Chodesh. And the Bryce explains that Darosh Darash, the double language Darosh Darash, the stage Roshos, which Lachor is kosher, we don't understand stage Rishos Lomali. What is the meaning of these two Drishos? But the answer is that since only one of the three was burnt, Moshe was asking Amalahu, he turns to Aaron and Bonham, and he says, Ma Chatazu Nisrafa. That's one drasha. The elu, but these other chatos munachos, and they were left till the evening, and they weren't eaten during the day. So the Brisa says, "V'eini yodea ezahu." And if you ask me which was the soya that was burned, is kshu omer, since it says, "V'yosad nasan lachem laseses avona eda," pasuk vayikra yud. Then we must be talking about the soya that's coming l'kapara, of the three karbonos, only the soya of Rosh Chodesh, that's the only one that comes to Kapar, the Omer, Zeh Sorish Rosh Chodesh. Because the Gemara says at the beginning of Shmuz that Seirei Rosh Chodesh are Mechaprim on Tumas Migdash VeKadoshav. So the Gemara asks Shapir Kamali, this is a great Kasha of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Nechemiah, because it's clear that only the Seirei Rosh Chodesh was burnt, and according to Rabbi Nechemiah, if it was Aninus, then all three karbonos should have been burnt, all three Seirim. And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Nechemiah l'tamei, di omar, kodshei shol opasol bu aninus. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, as far as kodshei shah is concerned, as there was aurah shah, lo opasol bu aninus, they were allowed to eat the kodshei shah in aninus. For example, the sar nachshon or the sar miluin, and there was no need to burn them. Only the case of sar rosh chodesh, which is kodshei doros, that's the karbon that became posel, and there was never a special heter on them regarding that karbon. And therefore, if it was brought by aninus, if they became an onain, Onanim, I should say, the carbon has to be burnt. Omar Mar, we learned in the Brisa second kasha, a second objection that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon raised against Rabbi Nechemiah, that if it's true that because of Aninus it was burnt, is Hayalo Liochlo LeErev, why didn't they wait with the Sar until the evening and then they weren't Onanim anymore? Shapir Kamale, isn't this a great kasha against Rabbi Nechemiah? Kosovo, the Gemara answers, what's Rabbi Nechemiah's opinion? Aninus Laila Do Raisa. Therefore, there was no way or no point to delaying the eating of the Sa'ir until nighttime because they couldn't eat it during the nighttime anyway, because Aninus Do Raisa. And they can't wait till the next day because that would be no Sa'ir. A Karmachatis can only eat during the day and the following night. Now we have a third kasha that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon objected against Rabbi Nechemiah. Dover Acher Halo Pinchas Hayimahem. Pinchas was not an onen; he wasn't a direct one of the Shiva Krovim of Nodav Aviu. He could have eaten the soyer. Why did they burn it? So the Gemara asks Shapir Ka'omale. Isn't this a great kasha that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are raising an objection to Rabbi Nechemiah? How is Rabbi Nechemiah to defend himself against that kasha? Is Sovelok Rabbi Loz, Dom Rabbi Loz, Dom Rabbi Chanina, Lo Niskai, and Pinchas Acha Harogo Lezimri? That Pinchas never became a Kohen until after he took the Kanoim Pogrombo initiative and he killed Zimri and Arvos Moav. That was in the 40th year after Yitzias Mitzrayim, way later than the Maisa Sreifas HaSoyer, which is in the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And how do I know that Pinchas was not a Kohen during all these years? The Chsiv, after the Maisa Zimri, says, V'hoysa lo l'zaro akhar briskunas olam, tachas asher kine. It means that only then was Pinchas Zoche in Kahuna, as a reward for his kina, his Maisa kano in Pogubo, by killing Zimri. So during the Yemei Miluim, he wasn't a Kohen. There was no way that he could eat from the Sawyer. So what are you telling me? Let's give the Sawyer over to Pinchas. Rav Ashi says no, that although it's true that Pinchas did not have the status of a Kohen, but it's not true that he gained the status of the Kohen immediately in the aftermath of the Maisa Kanos against Zimri, but rather Ashisam Shalom Ben Ashvatim, that he, Pinchas, made peace amongst the Shvatim. Shenemar, this we see in the Parsha in Yoshua, when Pinchas and the Nesiim heard the answer of Bnei Reuven, Gad, and Menashe, is Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen Unesiyah Eidem Roshe Alfei Yisrael. So we're talking about a perek in Yoshua, perek of Beis, during the time of Yoshua, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shev Menashe were on the eastern side of the Yarden. They set up a huge Mizbeach, and the Shivta Yisrael suspected them of idol worship, and they began to prepare war against the two and a half Shvatim. But before they attacked, they sent Pinchas, together with the whole delegation, to object and castigate these two tribes for setting up a Bama Le'avodah Zarah. So the answer that Pinchas received was that this Mizbeach was not dedicated, Chas V'Shalom, to idol worship, to Avodah Zarah, but rather was intended to be a testimony to succeeding generations that although these Shvatim lived on the eastern side of the Yarden, they were still very much a part of the Jewish people. So therefore, if you take a look at this pasuk and it says Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen, in general what we saw in the Torah was Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen, and the Kohuna goes through Elazar. But here it says Pinchas HaKohen, it doesn't mention Elazar. It means that he Biatzma was a Kohen. So he wasn't a Kohen at the time of the Yimei HaMiluim. He couldn't have eaten the Sayer, and that removes the third kasha, the third objection of Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. So Gemara asks, V'idoch Nami, according to Rav Ashi, V'aksiv, the Torah says, and Rav Ashi is the one who waited for this parasha in Yoshua. That's when that's when Pinchas became a Kohen. He says, what is Rav Ashi going to do with the pasuk of after the Maaseh Zimri, V'hoysa lo ulezaro achra briskunas olam? It seems that then, at that moment, as a reward for the Maaseh Kanos against Zimri, Pinchas became a Kohen. How is Rav Ashi going to interpret that pasuk? Is kiksivahu, that pasuk is referring to bibrachahu d'ksiv. In other words, when the pasuk says v'hai salo, it's referring to the bracha. And there's a mevaser, the Torah is telling us that Pinchas at the end of the day will be blessed to be a Kohen, and his zaro, his descendants will be Kohen. So this was a promise that was given to Pinchas in the aftermath of his kanos, but it wasn't actualized right then and there. The divine promise was foretelling what's going to happen down the line. So it means that after the Maisa of Zimri, it would be possible to make Pinchas into a Kohen. However, maybe at this point, Klal Yisrael, we're not ready, you know, to accept and inaugurate Pinchas as a Kohen because he just killed the Nasi of Shevet Yisrael. But when Pinchas made Shalom between the Shvatim in the time of Yoshua, then all the Shvatim were eager to make him into a Kohen. He'll be Shu, Mashchu, Chinchu, B'minchas, Chavitim, and that's when he became a Kohen. The Idach Nami, according to Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Aksiv, doesn't it say in the Pasuk that when Pinchas made peace amongst the Shvat Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen, in other words, then he became a Kohen? So my answer is no, that Pinchas became Kohen after the Mice of Zimri, and that Poskahu, when it says Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen, it means Liaches Zaro Achrov. In other words, now he was Nisyaches with a Yichus of calling him a Kohen,
and his zera afterwards would have the Milas Kahuna, they would become Kohanim Gedolim. In other words, during the time of Bayis Rishon, they weren't Kohanim Gedolim. I'm sorry, during Bayis Rishon, there were no Kohanim Gedolim except for Zera, the offspring of the descendants of Pinchas. So just to quickly review the last Shaka Litaria, according to Rav Ashi, Pinchas only became a Kohen when he made peace amongst the Shvatim in Sefer Yoshua. The Gemara asks, according to Rav Ashi, what do we do with the pasuk of Hoysalo Ulazarachro following the killing of Zimri? And the answer is Kiksivahu, that pasuk is Bibrachu Diksiv. It's only in the context of a blessing and a divine promise that down the line Pinchas would become a Kohen. Now, the other view, Rabbi Loza's view, to explain that second pasuk, the Gemara says, "Vayishma Pinchas haKohen," in the parasha in Yeshua, that's liyache zaro achrov, to invest his descendants with the highest rank amongst the Kohanim. As Pinchas became a Kohen at the time that he killed Zimri, subsequently after he made peace amongst the tribes, he was granted an additional award. He was accorded the highest Kohen rank with regard to his future generations. Every Kohen Gadol would be from the descendants of Pinchas, and that's the meaning of the title here, Pinchas HaKohen. Amar Rav. The Gemara wants to know what was the status of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav says Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol v'choli pekodshei shamayim haya. Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Kohen Gadol. Shenemar, because it says in the Karbonus Yimei Amiluim Vayikach Moshe Sachoze Vayenefeu Snufa Lifnei Hashem Me'el Amiluim LeMoshe Hoya LeMona. So Moshe received the Chaz V'Shok of the El Hamiluim. The Chaz V'Shok is given to the Kohen. It must be that Moshe had the status of a Kohen. And this special Shlomim Karbon, which was given and brought on each of the 7 days of the Chanukah, Hoya Lamana, means it was a portion, a division of sacrifice amongst the Kohanim, and Moshe must have been a Kohen. Now again, at this point, we're talking about just the Chanukah Samizbeach, and at that ceremony, he was called a Kohen. Rav apparently took this a step further, and he says that Moshe was a Kohen as long as he was alive. Only during the inauguration ceremony, during that period of that's the period of time in which Moshe had the status of a Kohen Gadol, and he alone would perform the Hakravas HaKarbon. But from then on, he let Aaron take the position of Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara now asks, Meisve, we have a brice that we mentioned earlier on Omid Aleph, that Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon asked three questions to Rabbi Nechemiah. And the first of which was that according to Rabbi Nechemiah, they didn't have to burn the soya because of Aninus, but rather for another reason. Isvalo Pinchas Hayimahem. Then there was a question, wait a minute, why did they have to burn the soil because of Aninus according to Rav Nechemia? Why couldn't they just give the basar over to Pinchas? Is Vim Isa, if Rav is correct that Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Kohen, is Lema, why didn't Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon object to Rav Nechemia if there was a problem with Aninus? Hello, Moshe Rabbeinu Hayimahem. Moshe Rabbeinu was the feta, but he wasn't an onen, and he could have eaten the basar, so why didn't they ask that kasha? Why do I have to mention Pinchas? Is Dilma Shiny Moshe? Maybe the status of Moshe is different. He could not eat of the Sa'ir, even though he was a Kohen. Mishuv de Tarid B'Shechina. The Omer Mar, Moshe Bashkoma, Olo Bashkoma Yorad. So what's this concept of Tarid B'Shechina? So it means that Moshe went up to Har Sinai very early in the morning, and there he would communicate with the Shekhinah. He came down early in the morning at the time of Matan Torah, And he descended from Har Sinai a number of different times, which you'll see in Vayikra, Perek Yutes, Perek Chof Dalet. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, on Pei Vav, that Rav Adabar Ava says that every time he ascended and descended, he took place, that always took place in the early morning. So when Moshe was devoted to communicating with the Shekhinah, and even at the time of the inauguration, this was months after the giving, Moshe was not able to, he wasn't available to eat the karbanos, because he was bashkama ola, bashkama yorad. Okay, so this is what happened at the time of Matan Torah. So the Gemara raises another question. According to Rav, that Moshe was a Kohen, Meisvei lechem elokov mikodshei hakadoshim umin hakadoshim yochel. So the Torah says, with regard to a balmum, a Kohen balmum, that he can eat from kodshim kalim. Notice he can't do the avodah, he's allowed to eat from the kodshim. Im nemru kodshei kodshim, lama nemar kodshim kalim. Why did the Torah have to mention kodshim kalim? We know that if he can eat this balmum from kodshim, which more so kodshim kalim. And not only that, im nemru kodshim kalim, lama nemar kodshei kodshim. So ilu lo nemar kodshim kalim. If it hadn't mentioned kodshim kalim, ayisi omer kodshei kodshim hu di ochel. Dafka, he can eat this balmum from kodshei kodshim. Why sharei hutru lizar vilahen? But kodshim kalim lo yochal. But in such a case, he cannot eat kodshim kalim. In other words, kodshei kodshim were permitted even to a zar, who's not a kohen. So we find a heter of a zar to eat kodshei kodshim, or to be cholek, I should say, the kodshei kodshim, and that's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu in the El Hamiluim, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu has the status in the El Hamiluim of a zar. And since we find a heter in Zoros to eat from kodshei kodshim, therefore we should say that it was hutru lahem. You know, it's even for Kohanim who are Bali Mum, it was allowed, it was permitted, even though they're not Roy Lavoda because of their Mum. Because of a shok of Kochim Kalim, lo yochal. That a Kohen Bali Mum is not allowed to eat, because we don't find that we are allowed to give a Zar Kochim Kalim. So there's no heta in the world for a Zar to eat from Kochim Kalim. So if we would say that even a Balmum is not allowed to be Cholik Yimayim, that's why we need the Pasuk to tell me explicitly that even Kochim Kochim is Mischalkim Le Balmum. Now we go the other way around. The Ilu, if the Torah would have just told me Kochim Kalim, the Lo Nemru Kochim Kochim, I would have said, you see, the Kochim Kalim Ye Ochel, the Torah specifically allowed in this more lenient category for a Balmum to eat the Kodesh, the Kochim Kalim. And the reason has Lufishem Kalim, but relative to Kochim Kochim, they're considered more lenient or more light. And in fact, there's no Me'ila by Kochim Kalim. So that would certainly indicate that Kochim Kochim is more Chomer. So therefore, if it wouldn't have said Kochim Kochim, we wouldn't have known that simply because the Torah allowed, in the case of Kochim Kalim, for the Balmum to eat the Basar, that therefore, by ipso facto, in Kochim Kochim Kochim, the Balmum would be allowed. The Kochim Kochim lo ye ochel, he shouldn't be allowed to be cholek with the other Kohanim in if he's a Balmum. It's l'kach nemar Kochim Kochim. Therefore, the Torah had to specify Kochim Kochim. And ulekach nemar kochikalim, meaning the sikum is that we need both kochikachim and kochikalim. So the Gemara's medai katoni miot says shari hutru lazar lekoi. Where do we find that the Torah was matir kochikachim to a zar? And lav, shouldn't it be? The Gemara doesn't know any other option at this point, that it's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu during the Yimei Miluim, and his status is that of a zar. So it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu never had the status of a Kohen. Rav Sheshes lo. Rav Sheshes says that this is not so. And And Zaru in the price is not a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no kashi on Rav. Rav says Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a kohen. Ella bebamal is Zar. We're talking about a Zar who does avodah on a bama, what we call a bama ketana. And Zarim amutarim lavod bebama ketana. Kedivrei Omer yesh mincha bebama. That this is a machlokes on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, machlokes tanoim, if there's mincha on a bama or there's no mincha on a bama. So now let's go according to the Man Yomer that there is mincha on a bama. And mincha is kodshi kodshi. And yet the Torah was matir shiari mincha lezorim ha'ovdim b'bama. So we find in Kodshim Kalim a special heta for a zar in the case of bama. And that's what the Brisa means when it says kodshi kodshim. We find there's a heta for a zar. And therefore it's possible to say that when we talk about Balmum being cholek and they get part of the carbon for achila, that's only in the case of Kodshi Kodshim where we find a heta for a zar. But in Kodshim Kalim, like Chaz of Ashok and of Shlomim, we never found that there was any heta to any zar. And therefore we shouldn't be matir for Balimumim to get a chelek to be cholek imoyim. And that's why the posuk had to be matir them explicitly. And we're up to Meisvei now, on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, last line, and we'll pick this up in Mirtz Hashem in tomorrow's Shiur.